ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापरकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथाङ्गितां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च आनन्दलीलमाय विग्रहाय हिमावदिव्यश्च विसुन्दराय तस्मै महाप्रेमरसाप्रदाय चैतन्यचन्द्राय नमो नमस्ते। आयि दीनदयानाथ हे मथुरनाथ कुदावलक्षसे हृदयं त्वदलोककातरं द्वैत भ्राम्यति किं करोम्यहम्। So as we're approaching Sri Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu Gauranga Sundar, sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj could just say Mahaprabhu Gauranga Sundar for long periods of time. Like the way we chant other things, just sit and say Mahaprabhu Gauranga Sundar. He liked that. Mahaprabhu Gauranga Sundara Nagarabara Nittam Nidhir Namabhi. His somewhat modification of Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, saying Mahaprabhu Gauranga Sundara Nagarabara Nittam Nidhir Namabhi. He's dancing and doing what? Nijanam. He's taking his own name. What we would think. Isn't that the height of arrogance? Or narcissism? Incessantly chanting your own name? But not as Krishna taking the name of Krishna. Radha Bhavadyuti Subalita, enveloped in the heart and halo of his beloved Srimati Radharani. He's experiencing what it's like to be her. And what are the effects of Krishna Nam upon her? He's experiencing that. That he wants to experience. Not arrogance, conceit, narcissism, self-absorption like that. Although if he is self-absorbed, that's a good thing in his case. It's mentioned in the Dwaraka pastimes. In one place, like he will get up and meditate upon himself, showing what's the duty of a perfect householder. But this is not like that. Even that is a play. But this is not like that. This is something astonishing that is not found anywhere. Candid, confidential, innermost thoughts being revealed. The scriptures, in general, They tell us about the different avatars, when they appear, why they appear, what is their necessity. They deliver the so-called Yuga Dharma, the religion for the age. And we're told in this case that overlapped with a personal desire that he was cherishing inside. So really, And it's the whole matter of devotion, is that Krishna is defeated by his better half, Srimati Radharani. Devotion triumphs over the infinite, as Guru Maharaj would some say, when the finite brings the control under the infinite, although we do not think of her as conventional finite. He's saying that's where you find devotion. He's come under the control that how powerful is that? And devotion is synonymous with love. That love that we're hardwired to seek, even in the midst of so much disappointment or failure to achieve that. We never give up the search, right? Because we're hardwired to that. It is the essence of who we are. We're not about knowing. No amount of knowledge will satisfy the heart, right? Knowledge, data, information, that is the mind, the intellect at best. But the heart is another matter. Right? Even that great scientist, whoever he may be or she may be, wants to be loved and love someone. It's a peculiar thing. Right? They're wrapped up in all of this gyan, so to speak, knowledge, but really they want to love someone and be loved by somebody. It's that simple. As a child wants that, their dog wants that, mainly to be loved. Right. So the heart, what the heart seeks is another matter. Hridayena binu gyato yo dharmastha nibodhata. Manu, in saying, what are the qualifications of whom we should establish connection with? Vidyad bi, sevita shad bi, nityam advesha ragabi. But it says, but ultimately, what will be the deciding factor is heart, the deep heart's core. So we're left with sincerity, because someone might say, well, I thought my heart was expressing itself before and it turned out to be wrong. I mentioned earlier today, Guru Maharaj saying, if I do not deceive me, no one can deceive me. There is a deceiving element within us that brings us in connection with deceivers. That's the sad case. When some of these connections would be revealed, those aspiring devotees or servitors would always present their case as if they were just totally sincere, and somehow they made a connection with someone who was less than what they purported to be. Guru Maharaj never accepted that. He said, no, there's something in you that brought you in connection with that person. He didn't let them off, like, oh yes, you're just totally sincere and, you know, the DNA lined up in the wrong way, like the scientists say. That's why you're like this. The, you know, they didn't, like, do the handshake thing. You know. He didn't. Guru Maharaj is very straight, direct, and said, no, there's an element within us that brings us in connection with deceitfulness. It's why we're in this world to begin with. We have a strong tendency towards self-deception. Right? So we're hoping, praying, that when it comes to this, let this not be an example of that. Then I have to atma samiksha, self-analysis, self-examination, and knowing that I have this tendency towards self-deception, be extra cautious and therefore take guidance from those who are proved reliable, authorized agents of the Absolute, what have you. But the heart will ultimately recognize its innermost necessity. So in this case, even though Krishna, he had his it was the time for the Yuga avatar, the avatar for the age, and to deliver the Yuga Dharma, the process which would be Nam Sankirtan, chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, right? Krishna Varam Tisha Krishnam, Sango Pangastra Parshadam, Yagye Sankirtana Pray Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. Those of refined theistic intellect will recognize this. Right? They will see through the misrepresentation, the stereotypes, the all those things, and see it for what it is. So he is doing that, and in Guru Maharaj's words, his public service. But like a public servant, they also have a private life. So no one generally brings up the question of the private life of God, to put it bluntly, right? The private life of the infinite, the private life of divinity, and whether or not we're privy to that also should be consideration. So the confidential nature of the pastimes of Sri Krishna and why they're so carefully expressed. I often thought the Bhagavatam, it's said to be 18,000 slokas, and the birth of Krishna doesn't take place until the 10th canto. So that means 9 cantos before that. So I haven't counted them, but let's just say, you know, like 14,000 slokas till you get to the birth of Krishna. What to speak of his sweet pastimes with Radharani and Braja Gopis. So it's, if nothing else, it's telling us what are the prerequisites for entering into a proper understanding of this. How likely it is to be misunderstood as something else. Right? Which is, tragic and cultivation of Krishna consciousness cannot easily be undone, that error. So how cautiously Sukadeva Goswami, who wants to express this, how much backstory and prerequisite there is before getting to this point, so that when these sweet pastimes are expressed, there will be no confusion about who is Krishna, who is Radharani, Braja Gopis, and what are these pastimes. Right. They appear they're erotic pastimes, but it's not like the erotic play of this world. But it may appear that way to the, the casual observer, one who's not properly steeped in Gaudiya Darshan. So, but still, as Gurudev once said, the truth is the truth. As cautious as we may be, he said, you should know what it is. It's not that we'll be so cautious as to be in total ignorance of what it is. But you'll see, and when we look in the life of Madhavendra Puri, how beautifully this is expressed in actually the final moments of his life. There are other hints along the way, but it only really comes out in full expression in the final moments of his life. So, Krishna, aparam kasyapi pranayi janabinda shukutuki, rasotstamam hritva maduram upabhoktum kamapiya, rucham swamavavre, dutim iha tadiyam shri chaitanya devaskriti atitaram na kripayatu. And one of the chaitanyas that comes of Rupa Goswami is saying,
surveying all the gopis
who are inconceivably divine goddesses, right? Their inconceivably beautiful forms are the form, substantial expression of their devotional beauty, right? It's not like physical beauty. They don't have physical forms. So what is it comprised of? Intellect? No, not in a heart, right? If the heart could give expression to a form, the devotional heart, and surveying all of them in their uniqueness, that Krishna saw that one alone stands supreme. And it awakened within him the curiosity, observing her. What is it like when she sees me, that I see these reactions? What is it like when she hears my name and I see these reactions and all the other sensual aspects? So it awakened within Krishna the curiosity to experience her position. So he descended as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But And again, to underscore that it has nothing to do with the mundane relationship between men and women, you could think, well, why didn't he come in a female form? If he is coming to experience what it's like to be her, then shouldn't he come as a woman? But not. And not only that, he comes as a sannyasi to show it has nothing to do with mundane eros, but it has everything to do with spiritual eros, right? To underscore that point. Otherwise, he would have come as a woman. If he's going to emulate the woman, why not be in the form of a woman? But no, he's male, and not only a male, becomes a renunciate, a sannyasi. And from that position, he's cultivating it. So that would be improper. It's to underscore this point. Where did we learn this from? Sukadeva Goswami, right? 16 years old, right? Totally enlightened, went past the Dibya Devis who were bathing totally naked. They didn't bother to cover themselves. Later, when his father, the great Veda Vyas, who gives all the Vedic literature, when he comes, they're covering themselves out of shyness, and he's saying, but when my son went by, you did not. I'm trying to understand. And they said, oh, there's not even a remote trace of male gaze in his eye. We don't see that. And that's there to set a foundation for who is this person speaking about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Is a person who has not even a remote trace of male gaze in his eye. So why is he interested in these subject matters if they're not divine? So that is Mahaprabhu, the internal reason for his descent, which we only come to find in Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, in the notes of Srup Damodar and Raghunath Das Goswami, as transferred to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. But when Krishna descends, before his descent, the Guru Varga comes. And Guru Varga in this context means like mother, father, auntie, uncle, etc. They have to appear first, right? And then he will come later. So in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, the Guru Varga, Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur, others, including Madhavendra Puri. Right? And sometimes they say you can recognize a guru by their disciples. The disciples of Madhavendra Puri include Advaita, Nityananda, Paramananda Puri, Ishwara Puri, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Like everyone whom you can think of who is in the topmost position of Krishna Prem, they're his disciples. Like all of them. And that Madhavendra Puri, we're told that he's moving in this world, but not much of this world. So he's going to different holy places, taking the name of Krishna. We're told he doesn't even beg, although he's a renunciate. He doesn't beg, go around begging. If someone sees him and they give something, he takes it. If they don't give anything, he fasts. It doesn't matter to him. Really, and it's not like he's going, oh, I'm going to be really hungry tonight. He's drinking the nectar of Krishna Prem. He needs the least amount of external, of the external for sustenance. Right? He's internally drinking this inconceivably sweet, wonderful, peculiar nectarine substance. And that's how he moves in the world. And he's visiting the holy places, the pastimes of Krishna have taken place, and like that. And we're told he comes to Govardhan. And there, he's just taking Krishna Nam, the end of the day comes, and a cowherd boy from the local village approaches him and says, some ladies noticed that you were here, and they sent me to give some milk to you. And he's saying, oh, that's nice. And he said, and, you know, you can give me that later, the pot for the milk. He said, I have to take care of my cows and do some other things. And Madhavendra Puri is saying, oh, what a beautiful boy, and very kind too, and those ladies to send the milk. And like, oh, I'm very happy. And the boy vanishes, and Madhavendra Puri drinks that milk, and he dozes, falls asleep. And when he's asleep, Gopal, Krishna, appears to him in a dream, and he realizes it's that boy who brought the milk. And he said, I am Gopal, and this is my place. He said earlier, no one in this village is an Upavasi, fast. He said, but due to the political situation, the pujari, I'm a deity of the grandson of Krishna, Bajra, so ancient deity. And he said, the pujari hid me in a kunja, in the bushes, for fear that I might be molested by the invaders. So I've been here in the forest for some time now, covered in dirt and dust and, you know, very hungry and, you know, would like, you know, a nice bath. Said, so you, and actually I've been waiting for you, Madhava Puri. That's the other thing he said. And that's the real fact. Everything else is just to assist this fact. It says, I've been waiting for you, and I've been wondering, when are you going to come and serve me as only you can? And that's what I want. And all the rest is just a play to set this stage for these pastimes. But you please come and get me in the morning. And so Madhavendrapuri wakes up in the morning and thinks, Krishna appeared to me personally and I couldn't recognize him. But he's also very happy. Because he's thinking, well, it was actually Krishna. I didn't recognize, but it was Krishna. Now I know. So I have no complaints. I'll try to do better next time. So he tells the villagers, and they're all simple-hearted people, and they go, yeah. So they go out and follow him into the jungle, and they're, you know, machetes and all, hacking their way through. And then they find the Gopal deity. He's like that. His name, Giridhari, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. And he's there, and covered with dirt and different. And so they, ooh, this deity is very heavy. They get the strongest men they can, carry him back. He instructed they should make a temple on the hill. And they do. They clean off Gopal, and then they start the seva by the abhishek, cleansing him, and then anointing his body with so much oil. And then offering the anakut. They would offer so much prasad that makes like little miniature mountains, right? And the news spread to the surrounding villages. This wonderful event has taken place and the deity has appeared. And this great devotee, Madhavendrapuri, under his direction, we're serving Gopal. So all the people say, we want to serve Gopal. So then it's organized from each village. They have like a day, a few days, a week, where they will provide all the bhog to be offered to the deity. And it goes around, everyone's very happy, and then they start giving gifts to Gopal, like cows, lots of cows, silver, jewels. Like suddenly, his stock has increased. And everyone's happy. It goes on for around 2 years. And during that time, Madhavendrapuri, think of all the prasadam they're making, and they're making mountains of prasadam, basically. We're told, at the end of the day, when all the seva was done properly, then Madhavendrapuri would take a little milk and rest. That was his position. But he was happy to see Gopal being served so magnificently, and all the people happily taking the prasad. And we're told, he could see Gopal eat the prasad. And then by his mystic power, it appears, reappears. That's his level. But after 2 years of, and he brings some Bengali Brahmins, they're initiated, they oversee the seva puja, etc. But after 2 years, Gopal appears to him again in a dream and says, actually, I have like a fever. It's just not going down. I like all the abhishek, the oil, the prasad. Everything is really good. But still, my head is very hot. And he asked, he said, you know, you need to get sandalwood from Malaya. And which is also called Nilagiri, Nilachala is another name of Puri, Jagannath Puri. So they had the best sandalwood at the time. So you need, and Karpur means camphor. mix the sandalwood and the camphor and put, then I might get some relief. These are the pastimes of Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri, he's excited to get this seva. He doesn't think, oh, this is going to be a burden. I'm an old man. I'm going to have to travel so many hundreds of kilometers. And he's not like thinking like, he's just thinking, how wonderful is this opportunity to serve? In one of the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also says that a proper servitor, whatever is the so-called burden of seva, is the proverbial labor of love. They're happily accepting that. It's not, begrudgingly, yes. So he's very happy and off to Puri to get the sandalwood and the camphor. And on the way there, he stops in the town called Remuna. And they have a deity there, Gopinath. In those days, he was just known as Gopinath. This is before he became really famous. Just like a lot of people, they have a name before they got famous. You know. Later, he became Kirchor Gopinath, and then, like, very famous. Then he was just the personality of Godhead. Gopinath. Because wherever the devotee triumphs over the Lord, that makes Krishna more happy. His default position is divinity, God, the infinite. But what enhances that are his pastimes with his devotees. Always, so that's the way he's most happily identified. Radha Vinod. Nanda Nandan, Yashoda Nandan, even Parthasarathi, just all these names of Krishna connected with a devotee. Radha Raman. So, and what I want to say is that Mahaprabhu also, after taking sannyas, he goes to Ramuna. And so, we shouldn't think that this is mere coincidence. Kaviraj Goswami is telling us, always revering Vrindavan Das Thakur and Chaitanya Bhagwat, as he's the biographer of Mahaprabhu's pastimes, I bow to him. In some instances, certain things were not described. I would never describe the same things as him, that would be an offense. But in the case where something was not described, devotees have asked that I represent that. But we shouldn't think that what Kaviraj Goswami is presenting is a random collection of anecdotes about Mahaprabhu that Vrindavan Das, for whatever reason, didn't write about. The Adi Leela, the beginning pastimes, they're described elaborately in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's primarily Adi Leela, then Madhya Leela, and a little Antya Leela. In Chaitanya Charitamritam, the Adi Leela is very small. It's actually Adi Leela, and the other half is called Shesh Leela, means final pastimes. And of the Shesh Leela, the final pastime, divide into two sections, Madhya and Antya. Right. So we know the Madhya Leela is very big in Charitamritam. It's Ramananda Samvad, Sanatan Shiksha, Rupa Shiksha, just there's a lot there, Siddhantically speaking. And the Antya Leela is really the last 12 years of his manifest pastimes, particularly behind closed doors with Srup Damodar and Ramananda. And it's smaller, but more condensed and dealing with inconceivable subject matter. But when Kaviraj Goswami is presenting the Madhya Leela, which is where Chaitanya Charitamritam begins in earnest after the foundational slokas in the beginning and the brief Adi Leela summary, and there it's also mentioned that Madhavendra Puri is what the Krishna Prem Kalpaturu, the desire tree of Krishna Prem. But anyway, Mahaprabhu, but Madhavendra Puri is the seed of that, the Ankur. Kaviraj Goswami says to his readers, I'm afraid I may not live to do this particular seva. He's arthritic, he's in his 90s, he's sort of legally blind. He's saying, it's a mystery how, it's a miracle how I'm writing these things. You understand? Some divine current is descending and passing through him. But, so, and he's, that's not just that he's just saying that, but he knows the ending, how it, it's not like that. It's real and earnest. So what he says is, and when he begins the Madhya Leela, he's saying, here's a brief summary. Then he says, and that chapter two, I have to tell you now, because maybe I won't live to tell it all. So in chapter two, he says everything that he wants to say in the rest of the book, what the whole book is about, actually. And that's where Naprema Gandasti Drapi Mehoro, and so many other slokas there, Gurudev would sometimes sing all of them. He knew the entire chapter two, like 70, 80, 90, whatever it is. He could just recite the entire thing. And that's where all these extraordinary things are mentioned. And he's saying, and if I live, I will, like he's saying cotton, you know, you like fluff cotton, there'll be more to describe later, if I make it. But if I don't, here it is. So he gives it to you in Madhya Leela chapter two. In chapter three, he's taken sannyas and gone to Advaita's house. But then he begins his journey. And the first place Mahaprabhu goes is Remuna. Really. And it's there. So this is the first major pastime expression that comes from the lips of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says he heard it from his guru, Ishwara Puri, who's a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So it's not random or anecdotal, it's foundational. And we'll see that at the end. So meanwhile, back in this divine story, Madhavendra Puri is there and he sees the deity Gopinath so beautiful. And always thinking of the seva of Gopal, he asked the pujari attendants, the sevaks, they're like, what sort of prasad, bhog, are you offering to Gopinath? Oh, we're offering this now. Well, we have this one specialty called Amrita Keli. It's a type of kheer. That means like, to call it condensed milk is almost an aparad. It's like, it's so condensed that it becomes like it has milk solids in it. So it's not just liquid, it's almost like rubbery for those who've had the good fortune to experience rubbery. But so it's called Amrita Keli. So it's like, Amrita means nectar, so they're just saying this divine nectarine, this is the special, we make it here and nowhere else in the world is it made. And only here. And that's our special offering to Gopal, amidst so many other things. And Madhavendra Puri starts saying, oh, if I could taste some of that Amrita Keli, then I would have a good idea and ask them further how I could prepare that we can offer to Gopal upon my return. And then little time's passing, and this is what we mean about Atma Samiksha, self-analysis, he starts thinking, oh no, oh God, what have I done? In the name of, oh, I want to offer to Gopal, really, I want to enjoy this thing. And so he's feeling disgusted with himself. Like, ugh, that's what it is. It's for me, and I'm talking this big thing about Gopal and serving him and everything, but really, it's, you know, for me. So he's disgusted with himself, attends the programs, and then goes off alone, and he's just feeling morose. And they offer 12 pots of that kheer to the deity. So anyway, then the night approaches, they're resting, the pujari sevak resting, and Gopinath appears to him in a dream and says, actually, that Puri Maharaj, that Madhava Puri, he is a great devotee of mine. And actually, under my cloth, I hid one of the 12 pots of kheer. So I stole it. What's offered to me? Now I'm a thief. That's chur, kheer chur, kheer churi. So the kheer stealer. They're saying, I stole one pot, you'll forgive me. And it's hidden under my cloth. So I want you to take that one pot of kheer and deliver it to that Puri Maharaj. So the pujari wakes up, bathes. He's a pujari. They always do that for him. Like even then, he had to bathe. Gets up, because he's saying, I've been sleeping for, I get it, you know. Anyway, so he gets up, bathes, goes to the deity, and lifts the cloth of the deity and sees, lo and behold, there's a pot of kheer, gets the kheer and starts going out and saying, where is the Madhava Puri Maharaj? Here, Gopinath stole one pot of kheer for you. And then he finds, are you that Puri? Yes, I'm that Puri, you know. Oh, here, you're so fortunate. Gopinath stole this kheer for you. Then you have to consider how loving is Krishna to do these things and the result being, he wants to see that his devotee is glorified, not himself. He wants to see the devotee is glorified. Krishna is being glorified day and night since before time began by Ananta Shesha and others, and they have not exhausted his glories. But when a devotee can be glorified, that makes Krishna so happy. So he stole that personally. Krishna, apparently the stealing is some sort of a characteristic of his. Very, you know, it seems thematically like an issue that may have to be dealt with at a certain point. Not a flaw, per se. Because out of love and affection, that's why he's doing these things. Right. So then Madhava Puri, like, he can't believe it. Now, finally, first Gopal, now Gopinath stealing kheer, and he's sitting there eating the kheer, and it just fills him with love, with Krishna Prem, even more. So, and he carefully finishes that, and we're told that pot, he broke it and would carry it in his cloth and take a little piece of the clay pot every day, and that would make him ecstatic. Don't try this at home. Right? You take that. But unlike the posers and neophytes, like If we do one thing that even remotely resembles Krishna consciousness, we'd like the world to know about it. So they can understand. Not so the great that Madhavendra Puri is thinking, well, before the sun rises, everyone's going to hear about this. And then they're going to be coming, taking dust from my feet, thinking, I got to get out of here. He's running from Pratishtha. We're running toward Pratishtha. He's running from Pratishtha. But I like what Baudelaire says in one of his poems that about Kana, Kamini, and Pratishtha. He said, when I was younger, I renounced, you know, name, fame, women, money, all these things. And he said, I must have really insulted them. He said, because now in my old age, when I'm begging them to come back, they won't have anything to do with me. So whatever way you can give it up is good. But so Puri, Madhava Puri, Madhavendra Puri, he's fleeing Raymuna because he knows that is like poison for the devotee, Pratishtha. Pratishtha means, interestingly, one meaning is self-assertion. Not assert, we say Kanak, wealth, Lakshmi is for Narayan, Kamini, ladies for Krishna, Pratishtha for Gurudev. So someone says, oh, that was a wonderful thing. You say, oh, by the grace of my Guru Maharaj, something may have come through. Right? That's how we think. Whatever praise comes to us, we transfer to Guru and Vaishnav. Say, by their grace, anything is possible. Even a person like fallen person like me can make a contribution. That's the proper way to think. And that saves us from that ego. Because ego is the enemy in this case. False ego. It's false ego is false identity. So he's fleeing from that, running to Jagannath Puri. But when he gets there, they've heard, you know, like the village, they have their own system of how news travels. You know, and he tells them about Gopal, and they're all very simple-hearted devotees, and they're, of course, they want to help. And they donate what's called a mound, even in the Bengali Sanskrit, it's mound, which means something like 80 pounds, say 40 kilos, 35 kilos, 35, 40 kilos of good sandalwood. You know, and even we've felt it, good sandalwood, when you hold it, it's already cool, the wood is cool. And when you rub it on the stone, we used to put rose water and then rub it this way, then all of its essence, and then you put it, and it like, it's very icy cold. And if you add to that camphor, even more so. Srila Prabhupada, you see so often his divine form decorated with sandalwood pulp, some kesha, saffron, and camphor. And he said it keeps the brain cool. So, anyway, they're volunteer, they all want to help, they give Madhava Puri all these things, they give him the necessary papers to show, like at the customs and immigration, some money for traveling expenses, everything, you know. It's very beautiful. And an assistant, because he's so old, who's going to carry all this. And when he reaches Raymuna, he's so happy to see Gopinath again and get a chance to taste the kheer. And that evening when he's sleeping, Gopal appears for a third time. Him and says, actually, Gopinath and I, same, but different. He's saying, really, we're in this together. He's an expansion. I'm, you know, just the way this works. Read Rupa Goswami, Lago Bhagavatamritam. It's inconceivably wonderful how it all happens. But Gopi, if you give it to Gopinath, it's as good as, that's good enough for me, then I'll get relief. And we can say he didn't want him to be troubled, this, whatever, that's what he told. And so Madhava Puri Maharaj tells the devotees there to give everything to Gopinath, and that will give Gopal relief. And of course, they're very happy to do that. But what's interesting, so this is the tale, and it is so wonderful. But then as we come to the end of that chapter, and this is why this is the disappearance day of Madhavendra Puri and why it is so important. So at the time of his disappearance, that there was a sloka expressed from his heart, which is like the moon, moon-like illumination everywhere. And the comparison that is given, because it's very mysterious, the sloka. It's very mysterious, that only he understands. Radharani, we're told, Radharani herself, it comes from her. It's something from the heart of Srimati Radharani. And got voiced or expressed by Madhavendra Puri just before his passing. And Mahaprabhu relished this. Madhavendra Puri, Radharani, and Kaviraj Goswami said, there's not a fourth man. It's that confidential. And it is not obvious. It is mysterious. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, this is the supreme sloka of Rasa Kavya. Right. He said, just as the Kostuba gem, like we hear of all the gems decorating Krishna, there's this one, the Kostuba gem, that is the Chudamani, means like the crown jewel. So he's saying, this is the crown jewel of all slokas of Rasa Kavya. And this he was saying at the time of his passing. And just to say, it begins with Ayi Dina Dayadranata He Maturanath Kudava Lakshase Kripayam Tadaloka Kataram Doita Brahmyati Kim Karomyaham. It's mysteriously simple, and I cannot explain that. Gurudev told me once that he said that Guru Maharaj explained it to him once. And then in his final days, he told me something about it before passing. But in a very, he just told me there are these two words, and from these two words, everything comes out. That's all he said. But it is, what we can say is that it is from the heart of Radharani, and she's saying, in separation from Krishna, how can I go on? That's what it's saying. And, I mean, in essence. And how does that relate to us in the following way? In separation from Krishna, how do we go on? In her case, it's in separation from Krishna, how can I go on with my life? In our case, it's in separation from Krishna, how do we go on with our lives? Yet we do. So Guru Maharaj, as I mentioned last night, he said, Krishna Prem is so, he he was searching for the words. He said, it is so heart-swallowing, like that. He said that if you're separated, once you have it, you cannot tolerate any separation, you will have to die to be separated from such a wonderful thing. So, but here's the part that I meant to say, is that we're told this sloka, which is deceptively simple, mystically simple, he says, it's like sandalwood. Right? Remember, we just heard all of this about sandalwood. And now he's saying, this sloka is like sandalwood. And what do you know from that? The more you rub it, the more comes out. But I could say this too, that having rubbed sandalwood and my, you know, having had that seva at various times, it does not come easy. You have to like throw yourself into it, you know, to get any kind of a result. And then what happens is, and Guru Maharaj said in another place, so we could say, there's the current of the world, and the call of Krishna consciousness runs counter to that. Right? So when your heart is moving, answering the call of Krishna, and rubbing against the current of the world, in that conflict, almost, that what happens is, gradually, if you are sincere and keep pursuing it, your mundane aspect gets dissolved. And what comes out? Your spiritual essence, your actual self. So it appears on the one hand that something's being lost. It's the most superficial thing, the covering. And what's happening in this process is you're being converted to your essence, which is a servitor, eternal servitor of Krishna. And as that happens, then someone, they're bothered by being separated from Krishna. That's when Krishna consciousness begins in earnest. When we're upset or disturbed by separation from Krishna. And following that takes to another plane. But Mahaprabhu, just hearing this sloka, we're told he couldn't even say the whole thing. He would say, Ai Deen, Ai Deen. Like Deen, and Doita. Deen means the fallen, and Doita means who's merciful. Like Gurudev once said, if we can't understand anything else than this, that we are fallen, and Krishna is merciful. We've heard he's merciful to the fallen. So we're hopeful. He actually summed it up there. That's our hope. He's saying, these two things we're convinced of, that we are fallen, and that Krishna is merciful to the fallen. So we're optimistic. So anyway, Mahaprabhu would say, Ai Deen, Ai Deen. He just... his heart plunging the depths of Radha Bhav, these divine sentiments. And he said to Nityananda Prabhu, what do you say about Madhavendra Puri? Is there anyone more fortunate than him? So, and that Madhavendra Puri, the Krishna Prem Ankur, the seed of Krishna Prem, later sprouted in the Bhakti Kalpa, Bhakti Lata Kalpa Taru, the Sri Chaitanya tree. But Madhavendra Puri. And Guru Maharaj like to say thematically with his ontological method that tell the story when the Sanodiya Brahmin and Mahaprabhu meet. It's like when you meet someone and they say certain certain things that you can identify who they are. And in this case, they could only say certain things if they had certain connections. Right? We have this experience in our regular lives, but here it is in divine pastimes. So when the Sanodiya Brahmin and Mahaprabhu meet, and mutual observation of one another, the line comes, Madhavendra Puri Sambandha Darajani. What I'm seeing here can only come as a result of a connection with Madhavendra Puri. Right. So, and it seems more than perfect that, what is it, 3 days before Gaur Purnima is this, the disappearance day of Madhavendra Puri. That's when this all came out. In that sense, almost announcing to us the deepest aspect of the internal reasons for the descent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. Rai Madhavendra Puri Tirubhav Maha Mahotavatiti Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Hari Harai Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Haraye Nama Krishna. Oh, I forgot to say one thing. Is that, you know, Mahaprabhu wants to taste this kheer, right? But someone could say, as Gopinath, he's already tasted it. Why so much eagerness? In fact, he'd ate the 12 pots of kheer. The bhog was offered to him. So why is he now so eager to taste that kheer? Because he's not as Krishna. Krishna enjoys bhog. We offer bhog to Krishna. We don't offer prasadam to Krishna. I mean, I'm sorry to like bring this news. We offer bhog to Krishna. There was a song called Bhog Arati. And bhog means enjoyment. What we're offering is for Krishna to enjoy. Right? Then Krishna enjoys that. And it's mixed with the divine nectar of the lips of Krishna. Right? And takes on this special quality. It becomes prasadam. So here, Mahaprabhu, to underscore the fact that he's here in the role of a devotee, he's very eager to taste prasadam, not bhog. So he's telling us, in essence, the position of the devotee is more desirable than the position of Krishna. And it can come from no greater authority than Krishna as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. How wonderful is that? It's not like we're being conned into accepting some
lower, secondary position.
You little tiny, finite jivas, just, you know, get a life. No, we're actually, it's inconceivable mercy that what we're being given is preferable by
Krishna himself.
He's saying, take it from me, it's better being a devotee
than being me. And I would rather take the prasadam of Gopinath. That can only be relished from the position of a devotee.